Homo Deus, A Brief History of Tomorrow, author Yuval Noah Harari. The New Human Agenda. At the dawn of the third millennium, humanity wakes up to an amazing realization. Most people rarely think about it, but in the last few decades, we have managed to rein in famine, plague, and war. Success breeds ambition, and our recent achievements are now pushing humankind to set itself even more daring goals. Having secured unprecedented levels of prosperity, health, and harmony, humanity's next targets are likely to be immortality, happiness, and divinity. Having reduced mortality from starvation, disease, and violence, we will now aim to overcome old age and even death itself. Having saved people from abject misery, we will now aim to upgrade humans into gods and turn Homo sapiens into Homo Deus. Humanism. The scientific revolution gave birth to humanist religions, in which humans replaced gods. The founding idea of humanist religions, such as liberalism, communism, and Nazism, is that Homo sapiens have some unique and sacred essence that is the source of all meaning and authority in the universe. Everything that happens in the cosmos is judged to be good or bad according to its impact on Homo sapiens. The antidote to a meaningless and lawless existence was provided by humanism, a revolutionary new creed that conquered the world during the last few centuries. According to humanism, humans must draw from within their inner experiences not only the meaning of their own lives, but also the meaning of the entire universe. The time bomb in the laboratory. Since humanism has long sanctified the life, emotions, and desires of human beings, it's hardly surprising that a humanist civilization will want to maximize human lifespans, happiness, and power. Yet attempting to realize this humanist dream will undermine its very foundations by unleashing new post-humanist technologies. The human belief in feelings has enabled us to benefit from the fruits of the modern convent. But what will happen once we realize that customers and voters never make free choices? And once we have the technology to calculate, design, or outsmart their feelings? Today we can use brain scanners to predict people's desires and decisions well before they're aware of them. Experiments indicate that humans can be manipulated, and that it is possible to create or annihilate even complex feelings such as love, anger, fear, and depression by stimulating the right spots in the human brain. When this technology matures, people may well manipulate their brain's electric circuits to achieve more mundane liberal goals. However, if and when such manipulations become routine, the supposedly free will of customers will become just another product to purchase. With the help of technology, you could more easily silence the alien voices of others and focus on what you want. However, the notion that you have a single self and that you could therefore distinguish your authentic desires from alien voices is just another liberal myth, debunked by the latest scientific research. Who are I? There are at least two different selves within us, the experiencing self and the narrating self. The experiencing self is our moment-to-moment consciousness, but it remembers nothing, tells no stories, and is seldom consulted when it comes to big decisions. Retrieving memories, telling stories, and making major decisions is the monopoly of a very different entity inside us, the narrating self. The narrating self is forever busy spinning yarns about the past and making plans for the future. It takes many shortcuts. It doesn't narrate everything, and usually weaves the story using only peak moments and end results. The value of the whole experience is then determined by the average between peaks with end. This has far-reaching impact on our partial decisions. This gives rise to the questionable liberal belief that I am an individual, and that I possess a clear and consistent inner voice that provides meaning to the universe. Humanism coming to an end. Liberals believe that every human is a uniquely valuable individual, whose free choices are the ultimate source of authority. In the 21st century, three practical developments might make this belief obsolete. 1. Humans will lose their economic and military usefulness. Hence, the economic and political system will stop attaching much value to them. 2. The system will continue to find value in humans collectively, but not in unique individuals. 3. The system will find value in some unique individuals, but these will constitute a new elite of upgraded superhumans rather than the mass population. Let's examine these threats in details. In the 21st century, humans might lose their military and economic value. Gone is the mass conscription of the two world wars. The most advanced armies of the 21st century rely far more on cutting-edge technology. High-tech forces manned by pilotless drones and cyberworms are replacing the mass armies of the 20th century, and generals delegate more and more critical decisions to algorithms. In the economic sphere too, the ability to hold a hammer or press a button is becoming less valuable than before, which endangers the critical alliance between liberalism and capitalism. As the masses lose their economic importance, will elites and governments go on valuing every human being, even when it pays no economic dividends? The Great Decoupling. In the past, there were many things only humans can do. But now robots and computers are catching up and may soon outperform humans in most tasks. True, computers function very differently from humans, and it's unlikely that computers will become human-like anytime soon. In particular, it doesn't seem that computers are about to gain consciousness and start experiencing emotions and sensations. However, we are on the brink of momentous revolution. Humans are in danger of losing their economic value because intelligence is decoupling from consciousness. We are now developing new types of non-conscious intelligence that can perform such tasks far better than humans. For all these tasks are based on pattern recognition, a non-conscious algorithm may soon excel in human consciousness and recognized patterns. The indispensable elite. The third threat to liberalism is that some people will remain both indispensable and undecipherable, but they will constitute small and privileged elite of upgraded humans. These superhumans will enjoy unheard-of abilities and unprecedented creativity, which will allow them to go on making many of the most important decisions in the world. They'll perform crucial services for the system, while the system could neither understand nor manage them. However, most humans will not be upgraded and will consequently become an inferior caste dominated by both computer algorithms and the new superhumans. Techno-religions. Just as socialism took over the world by promising salvation through steam and electricity, so in the coming decades, new techno-religions may conquer the world by promising salvation through algorithms and genes. These new techno-religions can be divided into two main types, techno-humanism and data religion. Data religion argues that humans have completed their cosmic task and should now pass the torch on to entirely new kinds of entities. Techno-humanism agrees that Homo sapiens, as we know it, has run its historical course and will no longer be relevant in the future, but concludes that we should therefore use technology to create Homo Deus, a much superior human model. Techno-humanism, however, faces an impossible dilemma. It considers that the human will be the most important thing in the universe. Hence, it pushes mankind to develop technologies that can control and redesign the will. We can never deal with such technologies as long as we believe that the human will and the human experiences are the supreme source of authority and meaning. Hence, a bolder techno-religion seeks to serve the humanist umbilical cord altogether. It foresees a world that does not revolve around the desires and experiences of any human-like beings. What might replace desires and experiences as the source of all meaning and authority? The most interesting emerging religion is Dadaism, which venerates neither gods nor man. It worships data. The data religion. Dadaism declared that the universe consists of data flows, and the value of any phenomenon or entity is determined by its contribution to data processing. This may strike as some eccentric fringe notion, but in fact, it has already conquered most of the scientific establishment. Dadaism collapses the barrier between animals and machines, and expects electronic algorithms to eventually decipher and outperform biochemical algorithms. The processor. From a dataist perspective, we may interpret the entire human species as a single data processing system, with individual humans serving as its chips. But if humankind is indeed a single data processing system, what is its output? Dataists would say that its output will be the creation of a new and even more efficient data processing system called the Internet of All Things. Once this mission is accomplished, Homo sapiens will vanish. The Dataist Revolution. The Dataist Revolution will probably take a few decades, if not a century or two. But then, the humanist revolution didn't happen overnight. Most dataists claim that the Internet of All Things is sacred because humans are creating it to serve human need, but eventually, the Internet of All Things may become sacred in its own right. The shift from a homocentric to a data-centric worldview won't be merely a philosophical revolution, it will be a practical revolution. All truly important revolutions are practical. The dataist idea that organisms are algorithms is significant due to its day-to-day practical consequences. Ideas change the world only when they change our behavior. The future of humans in a dataist world. If dataism succeeds in conquering the world, what will happen to us humans? Initially, dataism will probably accelerate the humanist pursuit of health, happiness, and power. Dataism spread itself by promising to fulfill these humanist aspirations. In order to achieve immortality, bliss, and divine powers, we need to process immense amount of data, far beyond the capacity of the human brain. So the algorithms will do it for us. Yet once the authority shifts from humans to algorithms, the humanist projects may become irrelevant. Once we abandon the homocentric worldview, human health and happiness may seem far less important. Why bother so much about data processing machines when far superior models are already in existence? We're striving to engineer the Internet of All Things, in the hope that it will make us healthy, happy, and powerful. Yet once the Internet of All Things is up and running, humans might be reduced from engineers to chips, then to data, and eventually, we might dissolve within the torrent of data like clump of earth within a gushing river. Dataism thereby threatens to do Homo sapiens what Homo sapiens done to all other animals. We cannot, however, really predict the future, because technology is not deterministic. The same technology could create very different kinds of societies. For example, the technology of the Industrial Revolution, trains, electricity, radio, telephone, they could all be used to establish communist dictatorships, fascist regimes, or liberal democracies. The rise of AI and biotechnology will certainly transform the world, but it doesn't mandate a single deterministic outcome. All the scenarios outlined here should be understood as possibilities rather than prophecies. If you don't like some of these possibilities, you're welcome to think and behave in new ways that will prevent these particular possibilities from materializing.